Okay, so let's talk about trust. Because how much do we really hand over to other companies? I mean, every day. Just this morning, I ordered a latte through an app, put my credit card info into a website, and even trusted the cloud to save my latest spreadsheet masterpiece. We live in a world built on outsourcing. But here's the thing. All that convenience, it comes with a side of security risks. So today, we're taking you behind the scenes with a security certification study guide. It's like getting a glimpse into the playbook businesses use to navigate this crazy world of digital threats.
And it's funny, what we never think about is the huge network of partners and providers our favorite companies rely on. We're talking about everything, data storage, payroll, the works. And it's not always about hackers trying to break in. Sometimes it's about making sure the people we're already working with are doing everything right, keeping data safe.
Totally. It's like that saying, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. But these days, supply chains are so much more complex than a simple chain, right?
Absolutely. This study guide uses the term risk management supply chain. And yeah, it sounds a little corporate-y, but it's a crucial concept. It's kind of like this. You wouldn't just secure your own front door and then ignore all the windows and back doors, would you? You have to look at the entire picture.
Okay, that makes sense. So how do businesses actually make sure everyone they're working with is up to par? Is it all about those super detailed contracts with legal jargon?
Well, those contracts, the service level agreements or SLAs, are actually really important. It's not just about making lawyers happy. It's where you as a business can say, look, if you want to handle my data or my customers' information, here are the specific security measures you must have in place.
So it's about setting clear expectations, not just hoping for the best.
Exactly. Don't outsource accountability. You're still responsible for what happens to your data, even if it's in someone else's hands.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Now, there's this term that kept popping up, SOC. Does that sound like a secret government agency to you? Like, Agent Smith, report to SOC2 headquarters immediately.
Well, it's not quite that dramatic, but it is a big deal for security. Think of an SOC2 report like this. When you're choosing a mechanic, you want to make sure they're legit, right? You might look for certifications like ASE certified.
Yeah, you want proof they know what they're doing?
Exactly. SOC2 report is like that, but for a company's security practices. An independent auditor has come in, looked at their systems, and given them a thumbs up. It's a good sign that they take security seriously.
So it's not a guarantee, but it's a really good sign. And not every company has this, right?
That's right. So if you're a business owner, knowing to ask for it is key. You know, it's interesting. We've been talking a lot about digital security, but this study guide brings up a good point about hardware. It's really important, too.
Oh, really? So it's not just about strong passwords and firewalls,
No,
right?
not at all. This guide uses this phrase, roots of trust, and it sounds kind of complicated, but it's actually pretty cool.
Okay, I'm listening. Explain it to me.
Okay, so imagine you have a brand new phone straight out of the box. A root of trust is like a digital fingerprint in the hardware itself. Like it shows that the device is genuine, that no one's messed with it.
So it's like knowing your phone is really your phone, that no one messed with it before you even got it.
Yes, exactly. And there are a couple of key examples they talk about. TPM, which stands for Trusted Platform Module, and then there's SROT, or Silicon Root of Trust.
Okay, I have to admit those acronyms are a little much.
I know they sound intimidating, but they're really not that bad. Think of TPM like the security chip on your credit card. It's all about encryption, scrambling up your data, so even if someone steals your phone, they can't see what's on it.
Okay, that makes sense. What about SROT? Is that even stronger?
It is. SROT is even deeper. It's like,
Yeah.
imagine you have a piece of jewelry with the maker's mark stamped right into the metal. You can't fake that. SROT is woven into the hardware when they make it so it's super hard to mess with.
Wow, that's really something. So we've got these digital fingerprints and tamper-proof seals. Are there any other cool security measures that we should know about?
Actually, yes. This guide talks about physically unclonable functions, or PUFs.
PUFs. That sounds like something totally made up, like puffing up our hardware with some kind of security.
It does sound a little funny, but PUFs are based on a really neat idea. Every piece of silicon, like what computer chips are made of, has these microscopic imperfections. So every single chip has its own unique fingerprint.
I never would have thought those little flaws could be useful.
Right. But it turns out those tiny imperfections can't be replicated. Even if you try to make an exact copy of the chip, you can't do it.
So each PUF is totally unique. That's amazing. But how is that used for security?
Well, imagine knowing for sure that a device is the real deal, that it's not a fake, or knowing that a piece of software hasn't been tampered with. That's what PUS can do. It opens up a lot of new possibilities.
Okay, that's pretty mind-blowing. So that's the hardware side covered. What about software? I feel like that's a whole other thing.
It is, but there are tools for that too. Have you ever heard of an SBOM?
SBOM. Not ringing any bells.
Okay. It stands for Software Bill of Materials. You know how food labels have those lists of ingredients?
Yeah.
An SBOM is basically the same thing, but for software. It tells you exactly what's in it.
Oh, that's a really good idea. So it lists out all the components and libraries, all the open source code, that kind of thing.
Exactly. And it's becoming more and more important, especially after those big cybersecurity problems a few years ago. Having a clear SBOM means that organizations can quickly find and fix vulnerabilities, which reduces the impact if something happens.
So it's about transparency and having the right to know what's in the software we're using. Just like with food.
Yes, exactly. And it's not just about businesses being protected. The more transparent software is, the safer everyone is.
SBOMs sound like they could really help make software more secure. But even with all of that, there's one thing we can't forget about. People.
Yeah, that's true. Even with the best tech, all it takes is one person clicking the wrong link or falling for a scam, and it's a huge problem.
And that's where training comes in. But, you know, I've got to be honest. Whenever we have those security trainings at work, I kind of tune out.
I think a lot of people do. This study guide actually talks about how awareness training and education are different. They're not all the same.
Oh, interesting. Okay, break that down for me.
Okay, so think of it like this. Awareness is like knowing you shouldn't touch a hot stove, basic safety. Training is more like learning how to actually cook, knowing what to do and how to use the tools. And then education is like going to culinary school, becoming a chef. You have way more knowledge.
So a security awareness is like knowing the basics about passwords. Training is knowing how to spot a phishing email. And education is being able to actually set up security protocols.
Exactly. And, you know, the level of detail depends on what you do at an organization. Not everyone needs to be a cybersecurity expert, but everyone has a part to play.
That makes sense. But the thing is, technology changes so fast. A few years ago, most people didn't even know what an NFT was. How can we even train for threats that don't exist yet?
That's a great question, and the study guide actually talks about that too. We need to be thinking about training for new technologies now, not later.
So what are some of the big things we should be paying attention to?
Cryptocurrency is a big one, and yeah. It's not just Bitcoin anymore. There's Ethereum, for example, which can be used for so many things. Smart contracts, NFTs, decentralized finance. It's huge.
And then there are stablecoins too. It's a lot to get your head around.
It really is. But even if you don't use cryptocurrency yourself, it's becoming more and more important to at least understand how it works. It already affects so much of what we do online.
Yeah, I was just trying to buy concert tickets online the other day, and they were offering a discount if you paid with cryptocurrency.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do it, but it made me realize that things are definitely changing.
They really are. And we can't forget about AI. It's not some far-off thing anymore. It's here.
It's everywhere, from music recommendations to those chatbots on websites. AI is already a normal part of our lives.
And it's just going to keep growing. This study guide talks about AI and healthcare, finance, transportation, everything. So it's more important than ever to understand how these systems work and what the risks are.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We could do a whole other deep dive on just AI and security. But there was one other thing I wanted to make sure we talked about. Blockchain.
Ah, yes. Blockchain. People always lump it in with cryptocurrency, but it's so much more than that.
Right. It's like the internet, but for trust.
I like that. It's basically about creating ways to track data and transactions that are secure and transparent. Like more secure supply chains, voting systems that can't be messed with, even verifying if digital art is real.
It's really incredible all the ways it's being used. But with all this talk about training, how do we even know if it's working? Is it enough to just have people sit through a presentation and then give them a quiz?
You bring up a good point. This study guide really stresses that effective training is about actually changing behavior, not just checking a box.
So are people doing what they learned? Are they reporting things that look suspicious?
Exactly. It's about making security a natural part of how a company does things, not just an afterthought.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And it makes you think about your own workplace, too. Is the training you're getting actually useful? Are you using what you learned?
I hope everyone listening is asking themselves that.
We've been focusing on how organizations think about security, but this deep dive really got me thinking about what we can do as individuals too. What can each of us do to be safer online?
It's all about taking those small steps, being proactive, like changing your passwords, using two-factor authentication, if it's an option, thinking twice before you click a link in an email or download something you're not sure about.
It's easy to feel overwhelmed by all the risks, but but anything you can do helps.
Exactly. The more you know, the better off you are. The more you understand about the digital world, the safer you'll be.
And that's really what the Deep Dives is all about. We hope you found this episode insightful and interesting.
It's been great talking about this with you.
And to everyone listening, we want to hear from you. What really stood out to you? What are you doing to stay safe online? Until next time, stay curious and stay safe.